Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, filling in for Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And there has been a lot of movement in the NFL. We've now got games coming up really every day for the rest of this week. And we know that one of the teams involved in all of this that's been hit the hardest was the Cleveland Browns. They are now getting set to play the Las Vegas Raiders, coming up at 5 o'clock Eastern before Minnesota and the Bears take the nightcap, the original Monday Night Football game that was scheduled. So for more on how we got here, we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to Mary Kay Cavett from thecleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer, who's been reporting and doing a great job about this COVID-19 outbreak on this Browns team. And Mary Kay, we appreciate you giving us some time. I guess just for context here, can you sort of paint a picture of just what the last real week has been like for the Cleveland Browns getting ready for this?
Well, I don't think there are going to be any Christmas presents under my tree this year for my family or my kids. I mean, we have all been just working nonstop trying to keep up with just the COVID outbreak here in Cleveland. It has been exhausting for everyone. And of course, the first and foremost, you have to just make sure that everybody's good. And for the most part, from what I'm hearing, nobody's really super sick or suffering too much. So that's the best part for the Browns right now.
Mary Kay, what was practice like for this team this week? I understand it was limited, and I believe it was Myles Garrett who did not want to participate because of the risk.
Yeah, you know, we haven't had a chance to talk to Myles about that yet, but I believe that's what was going on with him, that not only did they want to keep him healthy, you know, he wanted to stay out of harm's way as well. So he didn't really practice very much at all. He was out there a couple of times kind of on his own, and, you know, it just goes along with the rest of the week. They didn't practice all that much as a team. And there are just so many new faces in the lineup that I don't know if it would have mattered much anyways.
Yeah, Mary Kay Cavett with us from the Cleveland Plain Dealer on the Goodyear Hotline. And this game, one of the ones that was moved for that reason. So in that time period, the gap and the delay between when this game was supposed to be played and now, we know the NFL has changed up some of its return to play policies relative to the virus. Were the Browns able to get anyone back in that time period because of it?
Yeah, they did. Since they postponed the game 2 days and changed over the rules, they got back Tack McKinley. That'll help because Jadeveon Clowney is out. They got back Anthony Walker, their starting middle linebacker. And they got back, Anthony Walker was already back. They got Wyatt Teller, and they got John Johnson 3 back because of the changes.
In addition to the quarterback room, obviously a lot has been made about Baker Mayfield's availability. What position group has been hit the hardest, especially considering some of those players that they were able to get back over the last 48 hours?
I still think the defensive backfield has been hit pretty hard, in part because Greg Newsome is also still out with a concussion. But, you know, they're starting nickelback. Troy Hill is out. Then you've got Grant Delpit out with COVID. You've got Ronnie Harrison out with COVID. Those are two safeties. So I would say that's the area in my mind that's been hit the most. But, you know, for the Raiders, they don't have Darren Waller. If Darren Waller were in this game, I would be thinking that it would be very, very difficult then for the Browns to overcome that as well. But I still think they have a pretty good chance.
Ken Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Mary Kay Cavett heading in to the Monday Night Football now doubleheader where Nick Mullins will be starting for the Cleveland Browns heading into this game against the Raiders. How much have they been able to get Nick Mullins up to speed here? What's been his status and the comfort level with him heading into tonight?
Well, the good thing about Nick Mullins is the fact that he has spent the previous 3 years in that San Francisco offense, which is, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, handed down from Gary Kubiak offense. And that's the same exact offense that Kevin Stefanski runs here. He learned it all from Gary Kubiak. So Nick Mullins, he's speaking the same language that he spoke in San Francisco. So I think that will make the transition a lot easier for him. He started 8 games last year. So he does have some starts under his belt recently. I think that will come in handy for him. What he won't have are, you know, 2 starting offensive tackles. So that is not going to help matters, especially against Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue. But for the most part, you know, Nick will have some weapons to throw the ball to, and he will have Nick Chubb running the ball.
Mullins obviously taken over here for Baker Mayfield, and we know that this week Baker seemed like, because he was asymptomatic, that he was hopeful for a period of time that he'd be able to play in this one, and of course was ruled out officially. Were the Browns surprised? How, you did mention some of the guys they've gotten back here in the last 48 hours, but did they think that they were going to have more in terms of either players or coaches?
You know what? I don't think they were trying to get their hopes up too much. I think they knew they were at the mercy of the testing, and they just did not want to be, dreaming and wishing and hoping for something that wasn't going to happen. So I think they were pretty pragmatic about it. I don't think they were shocked. I think other people were more shocked, like me. I thought that they would get three or four guys back each day. Instead, they really only got netted three new guys from all the changes that were made.
A lot of changes that ultimately land us with the second Monday Night Football game being played. The Browns and the Raiders going to kick off at 5 o'clock Eastern. Mary Kay Cabot, writer at thecleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer, we appreciate you giving us some time. We hope for a much calmer next week for you and everyone around the team.
Sure. Thanks a lot, and thanks for having me.
And Amber, she mentioned Nick Mullins' background. That's certainly going to help going into tonight, but we know it's a crowded, chaotic AFC playoff field in the AFC North right now where the Browns call home. The Cincinnati Bengals certainly sitting at the top of the heap, but now you've got the Steelers sort of going full Undertaker meme coming back from the dead on this season as well.
Yeah, Mullins, don't worry. You not only have to take over in the face of tons of adversity because, you know, you're missing a ton of players around you and, you know, your protection, which you heard Mary Kay Cabot say there in that interview, but also, like, your team's chances of the postseason hinge on you and your performance tonight. No pressure, bro. It's a very difficult situation that obviously he's walking into, but I don't know what else could have been done. I wonder, Mike, would more than 48 hours, like, I don't know how the NFL would have even been able to do that schedule wise, but if we were going to postpone these games anyways, should we be looking at, like, truly postponing these games? But then of course there's opportunities for other people to come down with COVID or for the opposing team to come down with COVID. It is a very difficult situation that the NFL and all of these leagues and all of us, frankly, are navigating right now with this pandemic.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. I don't think there's any right answer in this spot. I think they're trying to hit a moving target here, and considering they're past the bye weeks now, and the only wiggle room you'd have would be that week break before the Super Bowl. And I really don't think they want to do any tinkering with the postseason for all of the financial reasons that we know are the driver on all this. I think it makes it difficult to do more than they've done.
I mean, I wonder if there should be some criticism there that maybe they should have scheduled things a bit differently in terms of, like, maybe they could have given themselves a couple weeks before the Super Bowl, knowing that they were in the face of a pandemic here and that these things could happen after the byes. But you're right. It's you know, you're kind of darned if you do, darned if you don't here. There's no easy answer to navigating any of this.
Yeah, listen, the NFL has trouble navigating a lot of things. I didn't expect them to anticipate a variant, to think that we would still. I mean, I think a lot of us probably naively thought maybe we'd be in a better position than we are right now. But as we see a lot, the ground has been changing beneath our feet for the better part of the last two, going on 3 years, which, boy, oh boy, is depressing to say out loud. So coming up in like 15 minutes, we'll give you guys a bunch of Christmas music to try and at least numb some of that pain for right now and cheer you up. But coming up next, we mentioned earlier, the New England Patriots took a step back this weekend here, but are they down? Not truly out. We'll talk about why we keep trying to make them happen next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson sitting in for Chris Canty. We're brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. And before we assess the New England Patriots' damage after the Colts out-Patriots the Patriots this weekend at the field in Indianapolis, we want to hear from you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, on if their running back Jonathan Taylor should now be getting some of that sweet, sweet MVP love. Let's go to Tracy in Indiana. Tracy, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. Is he your MVP?
Definitely he is, along with the offensive line. I think we have to give them some credit too, because they open up some big holes for him. A couple years ago, watching him at Wisconsin, I'm not really surprised that he's doing what he's doing, but as a Colts fan, it is very exciting. And I do believe he deserves the MVP at this point.
Tracy, I'd agree that it is not surprising based on the work he did in Wisconsin, similar offense, downhill, tight spaces, asking him to make some important reads in there. But Amber, she mentioned the factor that complicates it a bit for me. We know he's got not only one of the better offensive lines in football, albeit a little dinged up right now, but he's also got one of the few offensive guards in football whose name we know, right? Quentin Nelson, the offensive guard for the Colts, has been a guy that's been in the NFL film soundtracks at the end of the year. He was a big-time prospect coming out of Notre Dame. And people looking and knowing offensive line affects the running backs a ton probably affects the way we perceive the MVP candidacy here.
Of course, but that's like saying that we shouldn't give it to the quarterback position because, you know, these quarterbacks happen to have very good wide receivers. Like Tom Brady's throwing to some pretty good wideouts out there when they're healthy, given maybe not as much anymore, but he's throwing to some pretty good targets out there. So we shouldn't consider Tom Brady so great. I mean, we could have that conversation about any of these players in the MVP conversation because, of course, football is a team sport. Everybody gets a little help from their friends. I do think with Jonathan Taylor, of course, the O-line does deserve a lot of credit. It doesn't take anything away from me from what he's been doing this season. I did smile when Tracy said, let's credit the O-line, though, because I thought, man, she gets the show. Like, she is playing perfectly into the heart of Mike Golic Jr. So good looking out, Tracy. I know you were on hold for a long time.
Yeah, no, listen, Tracy hails from the Hoosier State. We have a lot of that great stuff in common here, so we'll keep them coming here. Let's go to Curtis in Illinois. Curtis, you're on Candy and Golic Jr. on ESPN. Who's your MVP?
Hey, what's up, guys? I think Aaron Rodgers is obvious for an MVP. I think Jonathan Taylor, like she said, also. I also think Jordan Mailata for the Eagles. I think he's just been playing absolutely phenomenal this year. And, you know, all joking aside, I think Jonathan Taylor has a very good case, you know, rushing for almost 2,000 yards this year, and first to do it since Adrian Peterson. So I think he's a very good case.
That is a guy who sat on hold and understands the show. Jordan Mailata, offensive lineman for the Eagles, the left tackle there.
They get the show. They are just playing the hits for Mike Golic Jr. right now. Smart callers.
Listen, playing me like a fiddle. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
You will get on air if you have something nice to say about O-linemen.
I can say, you can do that. Give us your MVP after you say something nice about an offensive lineman.
But nobody's actually nominating. Well, I guess he did, right? But like maybe we need to actually have a conversation here really like nominating these linemen. This needs to be a thing. We need to, maybe quarterbacks shouldn't be eligible for this award for a while.
Could you imagine if one year we just said straight up, you know what? Quarterbacks aren't eligible for the MVP this year.
Chaos. Like, it'd be chaos.
Oh, it'd be
amazing.
Honestly, it'd be perfect. I mean, Trent Williams for the 49ers, their left tackle is an MVP candidate, what he's been able to do. I mean, hell, if we want to account age in it the way we have with Tom Brady, Andrew Whitworth's playing left tackle at 40 out in Los Angeles. Let's talk about that, America. Are you too scared to have that conversation? The media doesn't want you to talk about offensive linemen for MVP. Oh, that's right. Candy and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, technically media, here on the ESPN app and ESPN Plus as well. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson. Amber, we're all talking about this with Jonathan Taylor because they handed the Patriots a big old fat L with a taste of their own medicine this weekend. Was that for you more about what the Colts can be going down the stretch here or more about us overrating what the Patriots have done all along?
I have been saying all season that everyone's overrating the Patriots. I just feel like we have this thing with the Patriots, given it's a good Patriots team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not out here saying the Patriots aren't any good, but everyone has the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And I've been very confused by that narrative surrounding this Patriots team. It's not that they're not good, but I do feel like people are overzealous about the New England Patriots. In the national media, there we go. We can blame the media here. In the media, but generally, just when we talk about football, I think everybody's just desperate to have the Patriots be the Patriots again, the dominant Patriots, the Patriots that we want to see match up with Tom Brady, the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady storyline. Can we get a Super Bowl there type situation, you know? And I feel like it's more about emotion than a real a possibility here for a rookie under center. As good as Mac Jones has been, it's still, he's a rookie. And you saw that against the Colts. Like, he had his moments. And you saw that for this Patriots team, they dug too deep of a hole that they couldn't climb their way out of, even if he did have a better second half. You still have a rookie under center, a rookie. And we've seen them go to conference championship games. We have not seen them in Super Bowls for a reason.
I agree to an extent, and I've had a lot of questions about Mac Jones because I thought a lot of teams are going to do exactly what he was forced to do against the Colts. Go out and make Mac Jones win it. The Colts said as much during the week that that's what they wanted to do, and we're not that far removed from a game where he had three passing attempts in a human football game in the year of our Lord 2021 to where he had over 40 this weekend, and a lot of that was game script dependent. But, Amber, I came away a little more impressed with what he had been able to do, but also understanding that it has never been more clear. The Patriots have no deep threat. And so teams like the Colts can come downhill at you early and often and say, we'll make you try and throw over the top because we don't believe you can. And on the other side, they were built to bludgeon them. They gave the Patriots a taste of their own medicine. And when you're built down State Street the way the Colts are, and if you can just keep Carson Wentz from throwing the ball to the other team too much, which credit them, they managed to. I thought the Pats dropped some bunnies in that one. I think that was more about the Colts for me. I think the Patriots are still going to be one of the, if not the best teams in the AFC right now, even though Kansas City sits up there. What I wasn't ready for was what we heard from Bill Belichick, though, Amber, because Bill Belichick came out, was very terse, very surly. Honestly, what we've been used to. Like, when him and Tom Brady are all bent out of shape after games, no one's really all that surprised. What shocked me is that Bill Belichick started his media availability today. Again, the year 2021, the year of our Lord. Bill Belichick got up in the press conference today and apologized to the media.
I'll just start off here. Look, fellas, I apologize if, you know, I seemed like I was a little short with you after the game. Obviously, a frustrating game, down 20 to nothing, didn't do anything well enough. I mean, there isn't really much to say at that point without watching the film. Clearly, we had problems in every area, so, you know, there was no simple answer. And, you know, every play could have been better. Every area of coaching could have been better. Every area of playing could have been better, and any of that would have helped. So, you know, not really trying to be short, but honestly, there wasn't too much to say. I don't know that there's a whole lot more to say now, but, you know, it's not your fault. It was a frustrating game.
It's not your fault.
What? I mean, what? It's not the media's fault. He didn't mean to be short with the media. I'm a bit concerned about Bill, Mike, because you know how people, like, towards the end of things, towards the end of a career, you'll sort of reevaluate yourself, and you know, you go out, you say all the nice things, and it feels like that's what Belichick is doing here. Like, he's having some life reevaluation. When has Bill Belichick ever given us the media apology? I'm sorry for being short with you. What? That is your brand. That is what you do. That is more shocking to me than what the Detroit Lions did this weekend to the Cardinals.
Very, very shocking. Breaking news. Bill Belichick apologizes to the media for being himself. Terrified. Hug your loved ones. I'm not sure what this means for us going forward. Coming up next, though, it is Christmas week around here, and we will get you ready. Santa makes his list and checks it twice. We will do the same here, looking at some holiday classic songs after this word from Wendy's. Now, right now, Wendy's, as a matter of fact, you can see what all the hype's about with their new guaranteed hot and crispy fries. We're talking real, natural cut potatoes, perfectly sprinkled in sea salt, and guaranteed to be hot and crispy down to the very last fry. Or they'll replace them. These aren't just the typical fries you add to a meal. These are fries worth adding a meal to. So abandon the old, cold, and soggy, and head to Wendy's today, where your fries are guaranteed to be hot and crispy. At participating U.S. Wendy's. Back after this, Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson filling in for Chris Canty. And you heard in that SportsCenter update, Daniel Jones, Giants quarterback, done for the season. We'll talk to Jordan Renan, our ESPN Giants reporter, coming up in 10 minutes to get the latest on what the outlook now looks like for the rest of the career for Daniel Jones and what was supposed to be a pivotal season. But before we get to that, Amber, it is Christmas week around here. You and I are going to get to be hanging out all this week. And we thought, what screams holiday radio more than list? If Santa makes them, then they're good enough for us too, right?
Of course. And we have to do the hacky holiday radio thing. Everyone loves a good list.
Everybody does love a good list. And so we thought we'd get this warmed up here. If Santa's going to make his list and check them twice, then we're going to make a list and make two of them with Amber and I in attendance here. We wanted to start off with holiday Christmas songs here. At Mike Golick Jr., at Amber W79, at Amber W790, that's 790, because I know math and numbers. These are the top four Christmas songs per myself and Amber. Amber, since you are our guest, why don't you start off today and let us know what you got here.
Number four.
So I have, well, before I get to that, so this is a song that I think a lot of people by Nat King Cole think is called Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. I have learned in putting this list together, it is actually called The Christmas Song.
Oh, wow.
But an iconic song, an iconic sound right off the bat. You know what song it is. It feels like Christmas to me, Mike. Now, our producer, Shannon, I have a lot of respect for him. I've worked with him a bunch now, okay? But it was his idea to put together a top four. Who the heck does a top four of anything? Like, what are we doing with a top four? So here's the deal. I'm giving you two fours.
Oh.
Which is kind of a top five, but don't tell Shannon that it's a top five because he wanted a top four. I could not decide between the last song and this song. White Christmas, Bing Crosby.
All right, strong. Both strong there. And like you said, these are classics, right? Everyone grows up hearing these in some way, shape, or form.
So is my number three.
Ooh.
Number three.
A little Judy Garland for you. How do you feel about this one?
Wow, you've really skewed classic on this, which I appreciate. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Absolutely plays in my book here. You're really, nostalgia is going to be, I think, be a theme for both of our lists.
So that's the thing for me, is that I like classic Christmas music. And when I put on the holiday playlists and I get all the new age stuff from the Michael Bublé's and whatever, everyone who's done all, whatever, everyone
it's
who's done all this.
One accent on his name, Amber.
Bublé,
you live in Miami. One accent can't throw you off.
I don't listen to his music. I don't know what to tell you.
I have a take on Michael Bublé that we'll get to. Because, spoiler alert, the boobs is on my list. And
I should have just looked at your list and I would have known how to pronounce it.
It's one accent.
Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, everybody who's done the Christmas music. There's all a bunch of new age Christmas music. I'm not really here for it. I guess I'm a curmudgeon when it comes to my Christmas songs.
You're gonna
hate
my list.
I like nostalgia. I like childhood. There's only one new ager who's done it right, and I'll get to her in a minute. But first, my number two.
Number two.
Do you know who this is?
Is that Elvis?
That is Elvis, baby.
Oh, my God. Thank God it's on the screen. I can cheat.
Yeah, you are cheating, aren't you? I was really impressed for a second. Like, look at you knowing you're Elvis. So, yes, Elvis, I'll Be Home for Christmas. Really sad Christmas song, really, because I'm pretty sure maybe it's about the war. And so I feel like this is information I should have.
I'll Be Home for Christmas is a song about soldiers not being home during World War II.
There you go, World War II. So I had it right. So a sad song, but one that I think is also iconic and just really gives you the Christmas gut-wrenching feels. I mentioned that there's one person in sort of the new age holiday music who has done it right. She has done it so right. She is the all-time best Christmas song ever. She is the only new ager to have ever done it right and make it a classic. This is a classic, my number one.
Number one.
Sing it, Mike.
I don't even know how anyone can get mad at this.
And need the Christmas tree.
It is absolutely overwhelmingly, stunningly top-notch, grade A, top choice. Whatever you want, Mariah Carey has got it with All I Want for Christmas Is You. Completely agree. That one is canon. So, Amber, very strong list here. I appreciate your dedication to the classics, to some of the old school original artists and all this one. Now I am going to desecrate that with my list. Number four on
Number
me.
Four.
Let's get it started. You mentioned Mr. Bublé.
It's Michael Bublé.
Bublé. Bublioli. Holly Jolly Christmas, to me, another feel-good one here. If you've been out a holiday shopping last minute, like I am during the week right now, you've probably heard this playing in the mall somewhere. And Amber, I truly believe at this point that much like Jennifer Garner and that credit card, Michael Bublé only exists in the context of Christmas. I don't know what he does the rest of the year, but I know he comes out every time during the holidays to sing us and fill us with Christmas cheer.
Now, is he the originator of Holly Jolly Christmas, though? I feel like that's a classic song.
But I want to hear Michael Bublé's version, because again, he is Christmas to me.
Okay, got it.
Which is, but you want to hear someone's song here, number three on my list.
Number three.
Oh, gosh.
If you have not let the saving light of Christmas Eve by Kelly Clarkson into your life, let her powerful, angelic, ever-present voice into your life. Amber, I have listened to this every day this entire month and will continue to probably through February.
I like Kelly Clarkson. I think she's an excellent singer. I think she's an underrated talk show host, but I just cannot get her Christmas songs to be classics. I'm not here for it.
Oh, you know what? Well, you know what? Then, Amber, I have saved nostalgia for number two on the list for you.
Number two.
I have one true bit of required Christmas viewing every year. It is the Charlie Brown Christmas special. And Hark the Herald Angels Sing at the end of that Christmas special where Charlie Brown learns the meaning of Christmas and goes through all of this with the rest of his friends to help his little messed up tree become pretty enough by public standards. It's actually kind of a weird message there. It was a perfectly fine little tree. But the point is, this to me, like you mentioned.
Accepting all trees. It's 2021. All trees.
All trees are perfect in our eyes here, Amber. And so I just think that song to me reminds me of Christmas so much. And so, now that we've gotten that out of the way, I appreciated your list here. I didn't want to do everything the same as you, like you've already seen. I like to think outside of the box. Kelly Clarkson's on this list. Michael Bublé's on this list. So it might be Kacey Musgraves and her Christmas special at number one. Who Zooey Deschanel. Now I'm just kidding. Play the hits. Number one,
number
baby.
Number one.
We don't got a lie to kick it. Mariah Carey's the GOAT.
We didn't even do the radio hacky thing where we pretend to have different number ones. We just stayed true to ourselves.
I wasn't going to try and fake it because we all know when you get around the holidays, no matter if it's a holiday party, Amber, no matter if you're going to the mall, no matter if you're driving around, listen to hacky sports talk radio, this song's going to pop up somewhere.
It's the jam. It is now a classic. Mariah, she did it.
All right. That is Canny and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson's top four Christmas songs at Mike Golic Jr. at AmberW790 on Twitter. We need your top fours here. I'm sure some people hate this somehow, some way, because it's a list. So we will wait to hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, though, we will get you the latest news on New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Mike Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson. And we heard news in the SportsCenter update from Christine Lisi. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones going to be out for the rest of the year with the neck injury that's plagued him for the last few weeks here. For more on what led to this and where we go from here, we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to Jordan Renan, our ESPN Giants reporter. And Jordan, take us through that. What were the Giants weighing leading up to this decision?
Yeah, but you know, they called it a sprained neck, and they've been just been waiting for it to heal. And now we're sitting here, there's three games left, and it's obviously a lost season for the Giants, right? And they're sitting there saying, well, is it worth putting him, you know, even holding out hope that he can get back this year? And they decided that, hey, it's in the best interest of Daniel Jones, it's in the best interest of the Giants long-term, to give him full time to heal. They weren't sure it was going to happen by the end of this season anyway. But now they sit there and they say, okay, we don't think it's a long-term thing, which obviously is key here. They said, we expect a full recovery, which for Daniel Jones's future is obviously huge. I mean, you're talking about someone who's 24 years old, and when you talk about neck and back, it's always dangerous. But that's why we sit here now, and you know, Daniel Jones has been shut down for the season. And now it's just he has to sit back. Rest. I said that's the answer. Surgery is not an option. It's a total contact-based thing, and that they believe it will heal, and he will be able to have a nice, long, and successful career.
How difficult of a decision was this for the Giants? I mean, it feels like it's been trending towards this. Was there really anything here that they would have learned about Daniel Jones over the next three games that they're missing out on?
Yeah, I mean, they said, you know, you want him to gain experience. The more you play, the better. But I think, like you said, three games left in this season. They're 4-10. The offensive line, look, the Giants can keep changing quarterbacks. They could keep changing offensive coordinators. The results aren't going to change drastically behind the offensive line that they have to put out there, you know, these days. So I think that had to weigh into the decision of, okay, what are we really going to learn more about Daniel Jones? Joe Judge has spent a year and a half with him. The Giants have now spent 3 years as an organization with him. Like, they know what Daniel Jones is about. They're not going to get an accurate look at really what he is behind a fully functional offense at this point anyway. So what they're left with is sort of a projection for the future. Like, do we think that Daniel Jones is good enough when we could put the right pieces around him and build a functional offensive line?
Kane Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Jordan Renan. Do you think from their standpoint that answer is yes so far?
I think it would have been yes, except now the fact that he's been injured three straight years, you have to take into evaluation, right? So you're saying, all right, we think he could be a top half of the league quarterback, top 10 to 15 quarterback, because I don't think anyone is being unrealistic and like Daniel Jones is going to be a top five quarterback when we put the right pieces around him. Like, I don't think that's the case. I don't think anyone can have watched for the last 3 years and see that. Now, maybe he grows into it, but I mean, that's not, I don't think what people are expecting, but I think they could be, he could have been a top half of the league quarterback. But now you're looking at it and saying, all right, we have what we think, we don't know for sure, is a top half of the league quarterback, right? But now we also have to factor in, there's an injury concern with him. Can he stay healthy long term? So now you throw that in and you say, all right, his future is clearly in limbo, and they're going to have a decision to make on a 50-year option this offseason. That's now guaranteed. So that's going to be a lot harder to pick up. It's probably going to be a situation next year where Daniel Jones goes into the year and they say, okay, you know, let's, you know, prove it. You know, we're not going to guarantee you anything beyond this year. You know, he's going to have to actually do it on the field for us to be fully bought into the fact that he's our you know, franchise quarterback.
Yeah, that potential prove-it year that we thought was going to be this season for Daniel Jones and the Giants may get a one-year reprieve as, again, he will now be down for the rest of the season with that neck injury. Jordan, we appreciate you getting back to us on such short notice. Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Have a great show. Speak soon.
Jordan Renan, our ESPN Giants reporter there. And so, you know, Amber, whether it's Mike Glennon or Jake Fromm down the stretch here now, the Giants going to get life with a backup quarterback till the end of the season.
Yeah, Mike Glennon hasn't been very impressive here in his last few starts in place of Jones. Jake Fromm, maybe he'll get more reps. Maybe we'll see more of him. But either way, obviously, the Giants season is over with, so I understand them making this decision. There was no point in rolling out Jones, especially when you're talking about a neck injury.
Yep, and now it gets interesting. Jordan mentioned him basically being on a prove-it deal next year if they don't want to pick up that fifth-year option net yet, as the Giants will also have two picks in the top 10, them and the Jets dominating the 2022 draft in terms of their presence up there, both going to have certainly decisions to make. The Giants, though, at the all-important position. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier. With more than 30 coverage options available, Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com. Coming up next, this last week has been one of the more chaotic ones in pro sports overall. So coming up next, how does that affect what we're going to try and do with our money out in Vegas as we get ready for a week full of games? We will ask one of our best next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.